When Sting's Every Breath You Take played in a Kuala Lumpur club, Michael Townsend Williams found himself in tears. His 31-year-old brother Jonathan had just died after accidentally falling from his 15th-floor apartment balcony. This devastating moment became the catalyst that would transform Williams' life from an advertising executive battling alcohol addiction to becoming one of the world's most respected mindfulness teachers. His book, Do Breathe, has become a staple on the bookshelves of celebrities like Emma Watson and Arianna Huffington, who credit its techniques with helping them manage the pressures of their high-profile careers. What makes this slim volume so powerful is how it connects the simplest of human functions, breathing, to our ability to think clearly, work effectively, and live fully. As Williams discovered through personal tragedy, sometimes we need to wake up to what truly matters, and often that awakening begins with a single, conscious breath. The Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius believed a clear mind allowed us to live in harmony with the universal order. Yet in our modern lives, harmony and clarity remain frustratingly elusive, replaced by stress, pressure, and poor habits that disconnect us from ourselves. Our breath is the crucial link between mind and body, the only bodily system that functions both consciously and unconsciously. From our first gasp to our final sigh, we breathe approximately 600 million times, each breath affecting all our internal systems and reflecting our mental state. When we're anxious, our breathing becomes shallow and rapid. When relaxed, it deepens and slows. Two important bodily mechanisms directly affect our breathing patterns. The stress response, our fight-or-flight reaction, evolved as an emergency system for extreme circumstances, but now triggers for everyday frustrations, like traffic jams or work deadlines. This constant activation leads to chronic stress, which the World Health Organization has called the health epidemic of the 21st century. Countering this is the relaxation response, which releases hormones that slow heart rate, relax muscles, calm nerves, and improve immunity. The relationship works reciprocally. Being relaxed affects breathing, and breathing affects how relaxed you feel. With just 1 minute of focused breathing, you can begin clearing stress hormones from your bloodstream. Most of us have forgotten how to breathe properly. Babies naturally breathe from the belly, through the nose, their minds and bodies working as one integrated system. As adults, we develop dysfunctional patterns, shallow chest breathing, mouth breathing, holding our breath during concentration that compromise our health and mental clarity. The keys to breathing well are surprisingly simple. 1. Breathe from the belly to feel centered and in control. 2. Breathe through the nose, which filters particles and regulates air temperature. 3. Exhale slightly longer than you inhale to stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system. These simple adjustments yield remarkable benefits: lower blood pressure, improved brain function in areas linked to attention and sensory processing, and even positive genetic expression. Research shows that relaxed breathing techniques alter how genes respond to stress, potentially slowing aging processes at the cellular level. When you notice yourself feeling overwhelmed, take a moment to observe your breathing. Is it shallow or deep? Through your mouth or nose? Fast or slow? This awareness alone can begin shifting you toward a calmer, clearer state of mind, the foundation for everything else in your life. Linda Stone, a former Apple and Microsoft executive, discovered a phenomenon she called email apnea, people literally holding their breath while checking email. This respiratory pattern signals stress and anxiety, often triggered by disorganization. While we blame external factors for our stress, the truth is that our own lack of organization frequently creates the chaos we experience. Our minds weren't designed to hold the volume of information we expect them to manage. This cognitive overload leads to poor decisions, shallow breathing, and a persistent sense of being overwhelmed. Despite popular myths that creative people thrive on chaos or that organization is boring, getting organized is the key to both doing more and being more. No one teaches us how to manage tasks and time effectively. We're thrown into school, college, and work, focusing only on results, not methods. We buy productivity books, apps, and fancy stationery seeking solutions, but these offer only temporary relief. The real solution isn't consuming organizational products, but actually getting organized, mastering both the art of doing and the art of being. The framework Williams uses with clients is CARE. Collect your information in as few places as possible. Arrange it systematically. Reflect on your workload regularly. And execute with clarity and focus. Most people have information scattered across multiple email accounts, physical inboxes, notebooks, phones, and mental notes. Simplify by consolidating to one email inbox, one physical in-tray at home and work, one notebook, and one phone app for capturing ideas. Then turn off all notifications, no badge icons, vibrations, or beeps. Take back control of your attention rather than letting interruptions dictate your focus. For effective to-do lists, use verbs to start each item: call, email, research. Add context tags: home, office, computer, and create mini projects for multi-step tasks. For example, post birthday card to Dylan should be broken down into specific actions: get address, buy card, buy stamps, write card, and post it, each with its relevant location. Begin each day by reviewing your calendar, to-do lists, and action items before checking new messages. This puts your agenda first rather than reacting to others' priorities. Dedicate at least an hour weekly for a meeting with yourself to clear inboxes and review commitments, projects, and upcoming appointments. Standardize your tools and equipment and keep them stocked so you're always ready. Find tools you love and stick with them. Clear tool choices reduce mental friction and create more flow in every task. Remember to breathe mindfully between tasks. Take a few belly breaths before switching activities to stay calm and focused. When your organizational system is in place, your work, mind, and breath will flow more smoothly. You'll spend less time looking for things, less energy worrying about forgotten tasks, and more attention on what truly matters. Self-examination can be uncomfortable, but necessary. As Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Looking honestly inside reveals baggage from our past that may be holding us back from brilliance. Many of us internalize limiting beliefs like, focus on what you're good at and forget the rest, or I'm just not a creative person. Professor Carol Dweck describes how we can have fixed mindsets in some areas and growth mindsets in others. Being open to physical transformation through diet and exercise while believing we could never write something worth reading. Children quickly develop fixed mindsets that hinder their progress, seeing effort as an admission of lacking talent. Yet mindset is often a better predictor of success than natural ability. Dweck found that teaching students to shift from fixed to growth mindsets improved their outcomes significantly. She showed how struggle creates new neural pathways, and praising effort rather than results helps students improve in subjects they'd previously abandoned. When faced with fear, we typically seek immediate comfort through distractions rather than sitting with the discomfort. We suppress our fears, causing physical tension, gut issues, or simply living smaller lives to avoid feeling afraid. Yet fear is inevitable. Eleanor Roosevelt's advice to do one thing every day that scares you teaches us to work through fear rather than avoid it, especially in pursuit of what truly matters to us. While we're often encouraged to raise the bar, the problem lies not in wanting more, but in our expectations. Yoga philosophy teaches karma yoga, acting to our best ability without attachment to outcomes. Expectations breed discontentment and disturb our attention. Similarly, assumptions lead us astray when we treat them as truths. As the Talmud suggests, it's better to say, I don't know, than create false knowing. To build courage daily, tackle your most important but avoided task first thing, what Brian Tracy calls eating frogs. When confronting these difficult tasks, 1. Breathe to prevent stress escalation. 2. Think about practical prerequisites. 3. Act despite inner resistance. Think big, start small. Build momentum by breaking your vision into simple daily actions. Growth requires moving beyond your comfort zone, which will feel uncomfortable but ultimately rewarding. Identify your limiting beliefs by writing down everything that holds you back. Circle the two most restrictive beliefs and transform each into a powerful counterstatement. For example, "I'm not clever enough" becomes, "I am far more intelligent than I think I am, and just as smart as anyone else who does this." You'll know you found something powerful when saying it makes you slightly uncomfortable and challenges your inner critic. Your physical posture influences your confidence. As Amy Cuddy demonstrated in her TED Talk, striking a power pose can change how you feel about yourself. Stand with feet wider than hips, hands on hips, and take slow, deep breaths from your belly for 1 to 2 minutes. Combine this with your paradigm shift statement each morning to supercharge your day. All of life happens in the present moment, yet we rarely inhabit it fully. Before developing mindfulness, we must acknowledge how mindless we typically are, constantly drifting between past regrets and future anxieties rather than experiencing the now. At its core, mindfulness blends relaxed attention with acceptance. While attention typically suggests effort and concentration, adding relaxed creates the paradoxical blend that enables true presence. This combination may seem contradictory, but is essential for mindfulness. We waste tremendous energy wanting things to be different, believing we can think our problems away. True acceptance isn't resignation, but acknowledging reality without judgment before choosing how to respond. With attention and acceptance combined, you live more in the moment and less in your head. Unlike the stress reduction breathing techniques, mindfulness practice involves observing your breath without changing it. Your breath is always present, making it an antidote to being lost in thought. Simply counting 10 breaths while feeling rather than thinking about them builds your mindfulness muscle. Though your senses are always active, you rarely just sense without thinking about sensations. Developing sensory awareness heightens perception, allowing greater pleasure from subtle stimuli. Like breath awareness, your senses anchor you to the present moment. To practice mindful eating, observe a piece of dried fruit's appearance and smell before placing it on your term. Notice the basic taste receptors, sweetness, bitterness, sourness, saltiness, without naming the sensations. Chew slowly, tracking changes in saliva, taste, and emotions through to swallowing and the lingering aftertaste. Explore various scents without judgment, from books, flowers, and food to less pleasant odors. Investigate both natural and artificial smells without labeling them. Breathe deeply and notice if you can identify new aromas you'd previously overlooked. Notice tactile sensations of sitting, standing, and walking. Touch objects with different textures, wool, metal, plastic, and qualities, smooth, rough, wet. Use various body parts beyond hands to explore touch sensations, particularly your face, feet, and hands, which contain half your nerve endings. Many relaxation activities, watching films, scrolling social media, drinking alcohol, actually overstimulate our nervous system when it needs rest. We struggle with doing nothing, so we must deliberately allocate time to simply be and adjust our habits to reduce overstimulation. Even mundane activities like brushing teeth can become mindful practices. As a Zen master said, "When walking, walk. When eating, eat." Pay full attention to movements, smells, tastes, and sensations. Be fully present in whatever you're doing. This shouldn't slow you down, but it might help calm you down. Meditation is simply sitting mindfully, without getting caught in assumptions or expectations. Sit upright with good posture, feel your breath and body, and practice being present. Notice thoughts like clouds in the sky. Acknowledge them, then let them go. Start with 5 minutes daily, gradually building to 20 minutes. Think of it as building your mindfulness muscle. Our personal energy crisis often goes overlooked, though it's as critical as the global one. We rely on quick fixes like caffeine and sugar, but sustainable personal energy requires deeper attention to how we sleep, eat, move, rest, and think. Energy encompasses multiple dimensions: mental fuel for thinking, physical fuel for movement, and emotional fuel for motivation. How we sleep, eat, drink, unwind, and feel all affect our energy levels. Without sufficient energy, even the best intentions and brilliant ideas fall flat. Most people don't get enough sleep, though we spend a third of our lives doing it. During sleep, our bodies cycle through four stages roughly every 90 minutes: falling asleep, light sleep, slow wave sleep, and REM sleep. Poor sleep impairs memory and thinking, increases heart disease risk, slows physical reactions, and contributes to depression. Athletes who increase sleep to 10 hours nightly showed improved performance, energy, and mood. Sleep quality suffers from noise, especially during early sleep stages, inconsistent bedtime routines, light exposure, which affects our body clock, stimulants like caffeine, and racing thoughts. Creating darkness, establishing routines, limiting stimulants, and writing down thoughts before bed can all improve sleep quality. Strategic napping boosts afternoon energy and productivity. Power naps of 10 to 20 minutes refresh without entering deep sleep. A caffeine nap, drinking coffee before a short nap, maximizes alertness. Longer 90-minute naps complete one sleep cycle and help recover lost sleep. Famous nappers include Da Vinci, Edison, Roosevelt, Kennedy, Rockefeller, and Churchill, who claimed napping helped him accomplish twice as much daily. Brain-nourishing foods include whole grains with low glycemic index, releasing glucose slowly, oily fish, blueberries, tomatoes, B vitamins, black currants, pumpkin seeds, broccoli, sage, and nuts. These nutrients slow brain aging, improve mental agility, and reduce memory loss. Proper hydration is equally crucial. Men need about 3 liters and women 2.2 liters daily for optimal brain function, energy levels, and skin health. Exercise increases blood flow and oxygen to the brain, improving cognitive performance. Research shows that exercising employees report being more relaxed, patient, alert, and enjoying better workplace relationships. Just 20 minutes of daily movement dramatically reduces disease risk, particularly for diabetes, heart disease, dementia, and cancer. Simple ways to increase movement include taking stairs, walking meetings, and using standing desks. Strategic rest is essential for energy recovery. Like sleep, we operate in roughly 90-minute cycles during the day, requiring regular breaks to maintain energy. Leaving work on time rather than working late preserves your best work rather than sacrificing it for your worst. One of the best ways to waste energy is talking too much. On yoga retreats, periods of silence reveal how often we speak just to fill uncomfortable social situations. Try saying a little less and meaning a lot more. With thousands of thoughts daily, many are habitual, useless, or harmful. As Sogyal Rinpoche notes, we've overindulged in thinking, causing mental and physical illness. Unnecessary thoughts drain energy like a dripping tap, seemingly insignificant, but eventually flooding the floor. Dr. Barbara Fredrickson's research shows negativity breeds health-damaging emotions that physically manifest as stomach issues, high blood pressure, and muscle tension. A positivity ratio of 3-to-1 positive emotions to negative ones creates a tipping point for achievement. Since our brains are wired for negative bias, Rick Hansen recommends savoring positive experiences for 15 to 20 seconds to embed them in memory. Focus isn't just keeping attention on one thing, it's aligning that attention with greater purpose. As Paul McCartney said about his relationship with Linda, "I'm the wide angle and she is the zoom." True focus combines both zooming in on specific tasks while maintaining awareness of the bigger picture. An intentional focus rather than the obsessional hyper-focus that can trap us in activities like video games. Designer Frank Shamero's advice for maintaining focus is simple. You do one thing at a time. But as productivity expert Merlin Mann adds, step zero, first, care. Frequent distraction may indicate you're not doing what you truly want. When you genuinely care about something, focus tends to take care of itself. According to Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, yoga aims to still the mind. Yogas Chitta Vritti Nirodaha. He describes five mental states we still experience today. Scattered, Kshipta, disturbed, restless, constantly wandering. Dull, Muda, heavy, depressed, lazy. Distracted, Vikshipta, brief concentration periods with monkey mind. Focused, Ekagrata, one-pointed attention, fully present. Mastered, Nirodaha, complete inner stillness. Neuroscientist Richard Davidson identifies two key scientific benefits of meditation: strengthening the brain's ability to shift attention and improving resistance to distractions, essential aspects of self-control. Steve Jobs noted that observing the restless mind eventually leads to calm, allowing intuition to blossom and perception to expand. Reduce distractions by making unwanted behaviors harder and desired focus easier. Switch off notifications, bury distracting apps in folders, put unhealthy food at the back of cupboards. Signal your brain it's time to focus by using headphones with your favorite focus music. To stop wasting time, track your time honestly for a couple weeks, noting activities every half hour or using apps like Rescue Time. Analyze it by creating meaningful categories to understand your current reality. Then plan your new days to align with your goals and priorities. Successful leaders create systems for focus. Dustin Moskovitz, Facebook/Asana co-founder, clears his schedule every Wednesday for uninterrupted project time. Jack Dorsey, Square CEO, assigns different topics to each weekday. Merlin Mann takes calls only on Thursdays. Michael Acton Smith, Mind Candy founder, advises, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The Pomodoro technique, developed by Francesco Cirillo in the 1980s, enhances focus through timed work intervals. The process is simple. Choose a task, set a timer for 25 minutes, work until the alarm sounds, take a 5-minute break, and after 3-4 cycles, take a longer break. This structured approach complements your natural ultradian rhythm cycles. While focus is essential for productivity, don't dismiss the value of daydreaming. Creativity thrives on unexpected thought collisions that happen in a wandering mind. Balance is key. Know when to create space for creative thinking and when to buckle down and focus. You can do anything, not everything, says David Allen. Multitasking is actually just rapid task switching that reduces productivity by 40%. When deciding what to focus on, ask yourself, what can I do where I am now? What can I do with the time and energy available? And most importantly, what will get me closer to what I really care about? Flow represents an optimal state of high performance, not passive acceptance. A 10-year McKinsey study found executives are 5 times more productive in flow. Flow creates what Maslow called peak experiences, rare, exhilarating moments that generate advanced perception of reality. Unfortunately, we rarely experience flow in modern workplaces due to constant interruptions. Studies show each flow disruption requires 15 minutes to recover, if recovery happens at all. Applied psychologists view flow as occurring when you face a challenge that stretches you while having just enough skill to handle it. Too much challenge creates anxiety. Too little creates boredom. In practice, finding flow involves navigating between these extremes. Owen Schaefer, a student of flow pioneer Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, identifies 7 conditions for flow: knowing what to do, how to do it, how well you're doing, and where to go. Having high perceived challenges matched with high perceived skills, and freedom from distractions. Jamie Wheel of the Flow Genome Project outlines a 4-part flow cycle. 1. Struggle, feeling challenged and stressed, requiring courage and a growth mindset. 2. Release, letting go and trusting yourself. 3. Flow, being in the zone. 4. Recovery, resting and recharging, essential before beginning the cycle again. Flow happens when several elements converge: full presence, unity of being and doing, silenced inner critic, sense of control, lost sense of time, and feeling worthwhile. Csikszentmihalyi calls flow autotelic, a self-contained activity done for its own sake rather than external reward, similar to karma yoga. The Eastern concept of Tao, often translated as the way or flow of the universe, emphasizes Wu Wei, the art of non-doing. William Rosenzweig quotes Lao Tzu, "Practice not doing, and everything will fall into place." This involves conscious non-action, inner stillness, effortlessness, and detachment from outcomes. The paradox: to do, you need to not do. To give, you need to receive. To breathe in, you need to breathe out. Just as we have circadian sleep rhythms, we experience ultradian rhythms during our workday. Taking breaks every 90 minutes is crucial for maintaining productivity. Ernest Rossi calls these rest periods the ultradian healing response. Heart rate variability, HRV, the natural rhythm of your heart speeding up and slowing down, indicates energy levels and vitality. High variability signals healthy stress and relaxation responses, while low variability suggests stress, fatigue, or illness. First used to monitor Yuri Gagarin in space, 1961, HRV impacts brain function and life expectancy. When breathing rhythm synchronizes with heart rhythm, you achieve coherence, the biological foundation of the flow state, where body and mind unite in maximum efficiency. This state emerges from smooth, rhythmic, coherent breathing. The BreatheSync app, iPhone app, measures heart rhythm through the phone camera and creates personalized breathing patterns to center users. A 1-minute check-in provides your well-being quotient, WQ, while 2 minutes can reduce stress and 3 minutes induces deep relaxation, useful for meeting preparation, unwinding, lowering blood pressure, and improving sleep. Yoga and meditation naturally lead bodies to a state of coherence similar to flow. Csikszentmihalyi notes the strong similarities between yoga and flow, describing yoga as a very thoroughly planned flow activity, where both aim to achieve joyous, self-forgetful involvement through bodily discipline. We are creatures of habit, with research showing over 40% of our daily actions are habitual responses rather than decisions. Understanding which habits serve us and which don't is the first step toward change. Even recovering alcoholics who've maintained sobriety for decades can find creating simple new habits challenging. The foundation for many positive habits is cultivating better breathing. Mental capacity for decision-making and focus is limited. Converting everyday actions into habits, like Steve Jobs wearing the same black turtleneck daily, saves mental energy for more important matters. Old habits create inertia, while new habits generate momentum for change. Charles Duhigg's habit loop consists of 3 steps: the cue, trigger that activates habit mode, the routine, mental, physical, or emotional action, and the reward, resulting satisfaction. While triggers and rewards often can't be changed, the routines between them can. Once a routine becomes automatic, the brain saves energy by running it subconsciously, like driving while thinking about other things. Almost all habitual cues fit into 5 categories: location, time, emotional state, other people, or immediately preceding action. When the urge hits, note these 5 factors to discover your trigger patterns. Triggers can be external, email notifications, or internal, need for social interaction or avoiding discomfort. Nir Eyal recommends using the 5 whys approach from Toyota to discover root causes. By repeatedly asking why you're experiencing a problem, like workplace anger, you can trace it back to fundamental issues, often poor breathing and stress management. Increased awareness helps introduce positive routines that replace old habits. Mindfulness creates space between trigger and habit, giving you opportunity to change. As Viktor Frankl said, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response." Awareness enables more effective responses and creation of new habits. To establish new habits, use existing habits as triggers, like brushing teeth. Make it easy. Prepare everything in advance. Make a commitment. Write down your goal. Tell a friend. Public accountability. And create new triggers, like post-it notes or app notifications. Breathing well functions as a cornerstone habit that creates positive chain reactions. When stressed, controlling your breath leads to better feelings, which might prompt clearing your inbox, creating task lists, having difficult conversations, and taking rewarding breaks. Just as poor breathing causes many problems, good breathing initiates positive cascades. Integrate mindful breathing before everyday activities. Phone calls, brushing teeth, eating, sleeping, driving, writing, and other routine actions. This creates multiple opportunities to practice throughout your day. When transitioning from advertising to yoga teaching, Williams initially embraced the concept that we are human beings, not human doings. Yet as his desire to create grew, he felt conflicted. The outside world seems divided between beings who focus on who you are and how you feel, and doers who prioritize achievements. He realized these are two sides of the same coin. There is being in doing and doing in being. In 2011, he called this integrated approach well-doing. Well-doing isn't about static balance, but dynamic balance, riding life's waves with skill and joy. Medicine has similarly shifted from homeostasis to allostasis, or constancy through change. We experience dynamic balance through natural sleep cycles, alternating effort with rest during the day, and creating smooth breathing rhythms. By harnessing our body-mind's natural mechanisms, particularly breathing well, we build the foundation to reach our potential. Organizing ourselves better and finding courage transforms us from worrier to warrior. The synthesis of being and doing, embracing all experiences with courage, skill, and love, reduces stress, improves energy, and focuses attention on what matters. As Simon Sinek says, working hard for something we don't care about is called stress. Working hard for something we love is called passion. To find inner calm and outer focus, we need strategies that unite how we are with what we do. The essence of Do Breathe is this integration. Breathe in awareness and acceptance. Breathe out calm and letting go. Notice the stillness as breath flows through you. Breathe well. Be well. Do well. The journey from tragedy to transformation that Williams experienced reminds us that sometimes our greatest growth comes from our deepest pain. By learning to breathe consciously, we reconnect with our essential nature and discover that the simple act of breathing well can become the foundation for living well. As Williams suggests, teach someone else to breathe well, it may change their life too.